This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen. This is episode 31 of What's It Like. My guest is Amanda Gaddis, a writer.
Yes, that's what I do.
How did you become a writer?
Well, I've always been a big reader ever since I learned how to read. I've had a book in my hand. I think that definitely helps. And then I had various jobs over the years, and I went back to school when I was a little bit older. I went back to college, and I got my bachelor's degree in English. And while I was in college, I started writing freelance for the web, and I started writing my first novel. Just, you know, something to do. And I'd had this idea kicking around for several years, and I started writing it. And 2 years later, it was done, and I started shopping it around for a publisher, and then I got one, and that's just, you know, it just sort of happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
What great fun.
Yeah. It's been a really crazy ride. Being a writer is tough. I will definitely say that. Yeah. If my advice to anyone who wants to be a writer is to just do it. Just do it. Just pick your idea, whatever it is, and go. Go. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about getting published. Don't stress out. Just get it down on paper, and then you'll have something to work with.
Yeah, you can't sell it until it's written.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So when is your book coming out?
It's going to be coming out the end of this year. I just went through the revisions process where this is how it works. I sent out my manuscript that I thought was finished to a bunch of publishers. One of them replied and said, "We really like it. We want to publish it. However, you know, this is your debut novel, so we're willing to work with you, and we'd like it if, you know, there are some things that we saw that maybe you could improve here or there. If you're still willing to do this, then I got a provisional contract," is what it's.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "Well, if you make these revisions, then we will publish it and we're good to go." And so I got a deadline on the revisions, and I just went through and tried to fix what the editor thought was, you know, not wrong, but, you know, things that could be improved. And so I went through and I did that, and I just turned that into her. And now we're going to be doing what they call line edits, which is we're checking all the commas, you know, making sure everything's...
Page 32, column
exactly.
4,
yeah.
Whatever, right?
Yeah. The, you know, the grammar's correct and all of, you know, it's line by line. That's why they call them line edits. So we're going to be doing that over the next couple of months. And then we're looking at late this year, late 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, then we're going to go through the publishing process, and it should be out hopefully by Christmas.
As a new writer, I don't suppose they give you much in the way of advertising budget and so on, but do they give you an idea of what they are going to spend?
Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't really given me a dollar amount per se, but, you know, we talked a little bit about how they market. I'm working with a very small publisher, which is not unusual for a first novel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big names like, you know, Bantam and all of those guys, you know, the big guys in with fancy offices in New York City, they do things a little bit differently. So this isn't going to be for everybody, but the small press, they're going to be doing a lot of internet marketing. Since I write for the web, I also understand internet marketing myself. So I'm going to be helping with that too. I have a blog, and I'm going to be kind of spreading the word. And so they're going to be doing that. They go to conferences. Then they're going to bring, you know, all of their titles to the conferences, and they're going to be working with distributors, you know, to get it into actual bookstores too. So that's their end of it. As far as my end of it, yeah, I'm going to be doing internet marketing myself. So it's kind of a joint effort between me and the publisher.
So no billboards, television shows, and national tours, huh?
Probably not. You know, I do attend science fiction conventions, just for fun. But, and I know some of the people that run some of them. The area I live in happens to have a lot of science fiction conventions. So I'll probably be at some of those conventions with my novel, marketing it myself in 2012.
Is that the genre of your book? Is it science fiction?
Well, it's what they call urban fantasy. So yes and no. I mean, it's not science. There aren't spaceships in it, but there are werewolves and vampires and demons and other scary things. And there's magic, but it's set in the future. So yeah, most urban fantasy books that you hear about are set in the present day. Only those sorts of supernatural creatures are walking around and yada, yada. Mine's sort of like that. I mean, it is the real world that we live in, but it's set, you know, I think about 100 years in the future from now. So it's a little bit of sci-fi and a little bit of fantasy. It's a little wacky, but I'm hoping that it'll bring in a lot of readers because it's, you know, hopefully something they haven't seen before.
Is there an experience in your childhood that characterizes you as an adult that has brought you to write this kind of novel?
Goodness. Yeah, actually, my dad is a real, real big science fiction fan. And when I was little, I was about, I guess, 5 or 6, he read to me The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien as a bedtime story. which is a little, it's funny. That's not a very good bedtime story. I had some nightmares about giant spiders and whatnot.
I would think.
But I loved it. I loved it. And so he would read a chapter to me every night over a few months. And I remember I also got, 1 year for Christmas, I got those cassette tapes. The kids probably don't know what those are. of the reading of someone else reading The Hobbit. So I also had, you know, I could listen to it. And I think that really shaped me, you know, and really kind of, so, you know, I say I've been a fan of fantasy fiction since I was 5. Because, you know, and I loved all those old, you know, those 80s movies. Mm-hmm. I'm dating myself here. All those movies, Conan and all the science, Blade Runner, all the science fiction movies, all that kind of stuff. And my father really, really got me into the genre. I would steal his books. And I was probably too young to read them. Books like Dune, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien, all the classics. And that really shaped me, I think. So, yeah.
Was there a major challenge in school or did that come easy for you?
I think it came pretty easy. I've always been a very verbally advanced person. I've always had good written skills. My SAT scores were good. The challenge for me going to college was being an older student and being a returning student. Because when I was 18 and first in college, I had some personal things happen. And my mother passed away, basically. And that kind of derailed me as far as school went. And I kind of went down a path that I don't think a lot of people should go down. And I dropped out of school. So for me coming back to college and being a lot older than a lot of the other students, that was the major challenge. The actual schoolwork, not so much. Not so much. I think having had a job helps. Because, you know, you got to show up on time, not in your pajamas for class, like you do at a job.
If you hadn't become a writer, what would you have become?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. I'm sorry. That caught me off guard. I'm not sure. I really don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. A teacher, probably. I come from a long line of teachers, so I enjoy teaching. I was a writing tutor in college, so I helped other students develop their writing skills, and I really, really enjoyed that. So I might even, you know, eventually do that. I would love to be a writing teacher or writing professor at some point. And, you know, that's a good day job to have if you're an author. So once I can get into grad school, hopefully that's where I'm going to be headed. So yeah, probably a teacher.
So you want to go to grad school?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I want to go to grad school and get a master's in English, in literature. I would love to do a master's program where I could study science fiction as, you know, a genre. You know, they have all these eras. You can go and do Victorian fiction. You can go and do, you know, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, I just thought would be really cool. And there's been some scholarly work done on science fiction as a literary genre. So it's possible.
So as a writer, what exactly do you do?
My typical day, and you have to understand, I am a freelance writer for the web. So I have my creative writing, which is the book, and that's, you know, getting published. And then I have what I call my work writing, which is what makes me money. So on a typical day, I get out of bed, you know, I have my coffee. I usually take a few minutes to let my brain, you know, settle. And then I open my computer. For freelance writing, there are websites that you can sign up with. So I write through several websites. And, you know, basically those articles on websites that you see, somebody has to write those. You know, they don't just come out of a computer. And I write those. That's what I do. And so there'll be various different topics. Usually there's some sort of queue of different titles. And then you go through and you pick your title, what you want to write. And then, you know, 500 words or so, you kind of cover the topic. I've done topics as diverse as organic fertilizers for your garden. I did one about the other day about how to care for honeysuckle plants. Mm. Since it's springtime, there's a lot of gardening topics out there, and I enjoy those. The good thing about being a freelancer is that I get to pick what I write about.
Now, do you know about honeysuckles?
Yes, actually, I do. Yeah, I'm a big gardener. You know, that's what I kind of do in my free time, is I like to take care of plants. It's very soothing.
Because that would be a tough thing to write about if you didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, well, you can also, you research a lot of stuff on the web. Like, I read another article, more of a not scholarly, but education related. A kid might look up the article for his, you know, book report type of thing. I read an article about animals in the Arctic and the tundra. And I had to do research for that, you know, because I've never lived in Alaska. I don't know, you know. And so, yeah, you have to go on the web, and you have to cite your sources, just like you do in your college essays, boys and girls. Citing your sources is useful in the real world. Trust me on this. and sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Well, it also adds a level of expertise that you've gone to the work of finding these things out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, yeah. I mean, so you have to, you know, you go to government websites and, you know, like the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, things like that, you know. And yeah, you find your sources, and so you can research stuff, even if you don't know anything about it. And sometimes that's half the fun. Like sometimes I'll pick titles just because I want to learn about it, you know, because they look interesting and it's something I think I can research. But yeah, so you do your research and you write the article and you submit it to the editors. And in, for this kind of writing, you get paid per article. And so, you know, you try to do, I have a set amount that I'll try to do. You know, I try to do 2 or 3 in the morning, and then I break for lunch. And then in the afternoon, you know, I'll probably do a couple of more, and then break for dinner, clean the house, you know, do whatever needs to be done, gardening. And usually my creative writing works at night. I mean, that works best for me at night. I'm a night owl. Other people, it's totally different. Other writers, they like to write before 6 a.m. when they get up in the morning. I read that, I think it was J.K. Rowling used to write before her kids got up. She would get up a couple hours before her kids and sit there and work on Harry Potter. And, you know, everybody's method is different. I'm a night owl. I write best at 1 o'clock in the morning. I know. It's just the way it works. So usually my creative stuff I do at night. And then, a good solid writing evening for me would be about 1,500 words. It varies. But like, I feel good if I've gotten at least 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm. What's the best thing about your job?
The best thing about my job is that I love it. I mean, the best thing about my job is that and it's what I've wanted to do my entire life. I've always wanted to be a writer. And, you know, ever since hearing The Hobbit, you know, thinking, wow, I want to make someone feel this and see these things, you know, that's the magic to me that's so amazing, is that here I am and I create something. There's this vision in my head and I use words and I put those words down, and then you give those words to someone else, and then magic happens because they see what you saw. It's magic to me. It's brilliant. It's wonderful. And I just love that. Like you and me and this person I've never met, never seen, never will meet, have created something together just through using words. And that's, I mean, the fact that I get to do that is amazing. You know, I'm going to have to you're going to have to send me a copy of this so I can play this back when I'm frustrated with the frustrated with the writing. I need to hear this again, you know, because it's not, sometimes it gets really frustrating too. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not perfect, but I love it.
What surprised you?
It surprised me. About the novel, having it happen, I think surprised me. Just having a publisher come back to me, because for so long, for about a year, I had been trying to shop it around and trying to find somebody. And, you know, it had been just for me and for my friends. Like, I'd shared it around. A couple of people had read it and been like, oh, this is really good. This is really good. And I think it had gotten to where I just assumed it would never go anywhere. And when the publisher said, yes, we want to publish this, that was the big surprising thing, is that, oh my gosh, it's happening. Because for so long I had sort of just convinced myself that it was never going to happen. I think that was it. Just the fact that it's happening is what's so surprising. I think also the amount of, I wasn't expecting, with the freelance writing, I wasn't expecting the amount of dedication that you have to get it done. Because I get paid per article. I get paid for what I do. It's not like another job where you can go in there and sit in your office chair and stare at the ceiling and you're getting paid because you're getting paid by the hour. This is not like that. You get paid for the effort that you put in. And if you don't put in effort, you don't get paid. And that's, I got it in theory, but it wasn't until I really started striking out on my own and making a living doing this did I realize what that meant. So, you know, that's another, I guess that would be another surprising thing.
We'll have more with Amanda. But first, let me remind you of the good work done by the ALS Association. When it was founded in 1985, I'd never really heard of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. I'd heard of Lou Gehrig, the baseball player, and that he had some kind of disease, but he was way before my time. And I knew the actor David Niven had the disease. But when my mom was diagnosed with ALS in 1987 and died from it the following year, then I paid attention. This is a terrible disease. It's not contagious, but it is progressive. It's a neuromuscular disorder that gradually kills you. Your brain is connected to your muscles by motor neurons. In ALS, the muscles work fine, or at least they would if they receive signals from the brain. But the motor neurons that carry the instructions die off. No signals, no movement. No movement, no strength, and finally, no breathing. So it's important to figure out how these motor neurons work, and how to keep them alive. If you want to become a researcher, here's an interesting area to pursue. And if research isn't your thing, but you want to help, go to ALSA.org and donate to the ALS Association. Your help would be greatly appreciated. So Amanda, everybody has to give themselves motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
For the freelance writing, I have a goal thing. I have a little Excel sheet that I have that sets where I can set goals for myself, monetary goals. And then I can look at the number of articles I'm doing for private clients or for these websites. And I can see myself, you know, I enter everything into that sheet so I can see the goal moving. And that motivates me as far as the money goes, because I can see the money, you know, I know it's happening. I'm like, okay, I can pay my bills this month. So, you know, bills are a big motivator.
Yes.
For the creative writing, I motivate myself generally by reading it. I know that sounds okay. I may have to explain that. I motivate myself by, at the end of the night, I read over what I did that day. And that keeps it. And again, everybody's different. No writer does anything exactly the same. I've heard all kinds of different methods. But for me, looking at, you know, what I did and being able to say, oh, that line's great. Like, yes, I did that. You know, I nailed that one. Yes. You know, that keeps me going. And, you know, if I get stuck at a part where the story, I don't know what's going on, you know, a lot of times I'll take a break, walk around, go do something fun. And then by the time I'm through with whatever it is, it comes back.
Let me turn the question around. When you have to soothe yourself, how do you calm yourself down?
I watch television. It's not the best thing. I watch television, and I also, gardening helps too. You know, there's something very soothing about sticking your hands in the ground, getting your hands dirty, and having that connection with the earth. And plants are so slow. They're slow growing, you know. They don't have an agenda, you know, they just, they're very, it's calming to me to be around plants, you know, to see the slow development of a plant. It's, you know, here's something or like a tomato plant, it's giving you food, you know, and you go out there and you water it and you fertilize it and you look at it and you say, okay, you know, and today that little tiny green tomato that is the size of a golf ball. And then a couple of weeks later, you know, it's the size of an apple and it's ready to go. And then you can have a nice salad. And something about that is just very soothing to me.
Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
Oh, goodness. Yes. Yeah, I think my mother passing definitely challenged me. It shook me up deeply. After that, 1 year, and this is an experience I draw from in the novel, because all novels are somewhat autobiographical, even if they have werewolves in them, trust me. And 1 year, I was about 24, and I decided to move. I was living in Austin, Texas at the time, and I was just in a bad place in my head, and I packed everything into the back of my Volvo station wagon and drove through Nevada and up to Portland, Oregon, and moved to Portland, Oregon on my own. And I think that was definitely a challenging experience. And of course, I chose it, but, you know, I did pretty well in Portland. I was there for a couple of years, and then, you know, I did move back to Austin. But just the going, I think that was definitely one of the biggest events in my life.
If you're giving a commencement address for high school or college graduation, what would be your best advice? What would you say?
Oh, goodness. Think about what you love and do it. Whatever it is you want to do, do it. If you find yourself saying, I want to, you know, blank, do that thing. Find other people who do that thing and go do it with them. And that's it. That's as easy as it is. I mean, my whole life I said I want to be a writer. And you know what? I am a writer. Why? Because I wrote. Because I sat down and I said, look, I have a story to tell and I'm going to tell it. And I went to school to learn how to put a sentence together, because you need to know that to be a writer. I put in the hard work, and you know, now I am what I've always wanted to be. So, but all it took was me deciding to do it. And that's the most important thing, is don't just do it. Don't listen to the fears. I mean, they're going to be there. Know that they're there, and, you know, nod at them and then ignore them, because, you know, you can't waffle in your life. You have to decide what it is you want, and you go and you get it and you make it happen for yourself, because, you know, this is all you get. You get this one life. So you got to go for it.
The last question is, help me get better at this process. Think of a defining moment in your life, or one of those great stories that you have that we haven't talked about. What question should I have asked to get you to tell me that story?
I think maybe asking about the challenges to doing what it is that I do. I don't know that we really covered that.
So, Amanda, what are the challenges of being a writer?
Yeah. The challenges of being a writer are staying motivated and not second guessing yourself. Everybody has an inner critic, and they talk about this a lot in how-to writing books. But you all have that little voice, that little devil on your shoulder that's like, you're not good enough. Oh, this sentence sucks. The story is never going to work. You know, the scene is never going to work. Why are you doing this? Shutting up that voice, that is the most major challenge. And sometimes that voice comes from other people. And cutting those people out of your life can be tough.
Not everyone is supportive?
No. And, you know, sometimes people think they're being supportive. They're trying to be supportive, but they're not, you know, because if you have a dream, you know, there are some people in life that don't like to see other people have dreams. For whatever reason, something's happened to them, and, you know, they're miserable, and they want everybody around them to be miserable, and you can't give in to that. You know, you have to say, thank you for trying to help, but no. You know, and like, you know, oh, get a real job, you know, do things like that. People are, they're trying to be nice, but really, ultimately, you know, look, this is a real job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I'm doing it, you know. So that's That can be a challenge too.
I want to thank Amanda Gaddis for joining me. Thanks so much. I appreciate the help.
Okay.